Hello, and welcome to River Writers, a production of the Writers Guild of Astoria, a 501c3 nonprofit supporting writers and the literary arts in Astoria and the Lower Columbia region. I'm your co-host, Asher Finch. Aired the second Monday of each month, River Writers provides a chance to peek behind the curtain at the craft of writing. We talk about what motivates writers to do the work they do and ask what they've learned through their creative practice. I'm here today with Anne Orney. Anne is a local typewriter poet and the author of the magical murder mystery Summoning Spruce, the poetry collection Life Pushing Through, and the guide So You Want to Self-Publish. She was also the writer and producer of Cold Coast, a podcast aired on KMUN in 2020, focusing on the missing and unidentified persons of Tillamook, Clatsop, and Pacific counties. When Anne isn't writing or reading, she can be found rambling through the woods with her husband, son, and dogs, Lucy and Finn. You can follow her writing adventures on @writeelements on Instagram.
Hello, Anne. Thanks for being here with me.
I'm excited to be here and talk about writing.
I love this. So, talking about writing, what started your writing journey? What inspired you to become an author?
When I was in grade school, there was another girl. She was a little bit older than me. And at the end of the year, we had like an anthology and everybody's writing was in it. And I read her work and I was like, oh, I want to write like that someday. Like, that's really good writing. And I think I was like maybe 8 or 9. Mm-hmm. She was like a year or two older than me. And she actually did go on to be a college professor in writing.
I love that.
Yeah. So she clearly I had good taste. But but that kind of writing where it like evoked emotion and sensation and like grounded you in the scene, it really struck me. And I was like, I want to be like that someday. Mm-hmm. And life happened and I went to college and did other things. And then when I was around 26 or 27, I was working in a job I hated. Actually, mm-hmm. I was 30. I was working in a job I hated.
Okay.
And I was like, I'd rather be writing.
Yeah.
I don't want to be doing this anymore. You know, every time the phone rang in the office, I was like, I would rather be writing.
and it drew you back to it.
It did. But I think it kind of helped me survive, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Like doing things that I wasn't wanting to really be doing. It was like a doorway. And I challenged myself to write something and try to get it published. Mm-hmm. And I did poetry. I was like, I'll just do some poems. I wrote some poems and submitted it to the North Coast Squid, which is based in Manzanita,
out of the Hoffman Center.
Yes. And it was published. And I was like, oh my God. Like, and it was kind of addicting, you know, like, oh, I got published. Yeah. There's some, you know, feedback. And when I went to go read it for the first time at the release party, the poetry judge came up and was like, I just wanted to let you know I was really impressed by this. And mm-hmm. I was like, oh, so it wasn't bad. Okay. And so that was also like affirming that there was something there.
That you're doing something and it's resonating.
Yeah, that it's making an impact on people or people are connecting to what I'm writing. It's not, you know, an individual singular experience inside my body that I'm enjoying the writing, like that they were able to connect with it. Mm-hmm. It was a different level.
For me, that's something that's important as a writer too, is just knowing that, yes, I can write for myself, but to reach other people is a whole other experience.
Absolutely. Yes.
And so on the train of poetry and in like the Astoria area, I know I've been seeing on my feeds a lot lately that you are doing this really cool typewriter pop-up poetry. Yeah. What inspired that? How did you start in that route?
I had seen typewriter poets in the past. Mm-hmm. And I thought, I don't know how they do that. I could not do that.
But you can write poetry.
I can write poetry. And I've done a lot of work with generative writing in workshops or using prompts and stuff. So I'm comfortable writing from a prompt. So that's kind of like a good setup. But both of my parents have dementia. And I was feeling more and more isolated post-COVID because that part of my life was kind of fading away. Yeah. And so I just wasn't having as much connection. And I'm also an author. And when you write a book, you're selling yourself over and over and over to strangers. And it's a really one-sided experience. There's a lot of rejection, which is a part of it. But It didn't really feel like I was connecting to people. I was like pushing this book on people that I didn't know if they needed it. So I had this idea of like, well, maybe I could, instead of just selling a book, do typewriter poetry and see if anybody would be interested. And I was going with the college last summer to England on a trip. And before I left, I ordered a typewriter and it was going to be back at home and delivered while I was away. And so while we were there, we were walking along, the waterfront, I think it was South London, near the Globe Theatre, and there were two typewriter poets along the river, and I was like, I need to do this. And so I went, and they asked, they had this little sign, poet for hire, pay what you like, and they said, we just, do you have a theme? And I was like, oh, I'm here for this, and I'm trying to find this exact spot that my grandmother had been here and took a photo in the 50s, and they wrote this gorgeous piece of poetry for me, and it was such a unique experience, personalized to me. I felt seen, and it just felt like you were connecting. And I, while she's typing, I was like, oh, this feels like typewriter alchemy. And she stops and she looks at me and she's like, yes, that's exactly what it is.
I've
And so when
never
I came,
heard it referred to as alchemy before. That's magic.
because like when people come up and you ask them, like, do you want a poem? They really do speak poetry to you. They tell you
Yes.
what they're going through, they're telling you what they're feeling,
It's
and maybe
intimate.
it's super intimate, but it's also like you can relate to them and they can relate to you. And so when I came back, I started practicing, trying to figure out, how many lines on a sheet of paper, what size of paper I wanted to do, how fast could I do it? And then finally I was like, okay, I'm going to try. And the first day I was like so scared someone was going to come up and ask for a poem and I was going to fail. So I just started like making free ones, like for other vendors. I'm like, I'm just gonna, try it out, see what I can do. And it got a rhythm. And it's
Amazing.
not that it's addicting, it's kind of healing, honestly.
Cathartic in a way.
Yeah.
Do you find that how integrating poetry into this spontaneous connection with people, is it influencing other paths of your writing? You mentioned writing books. I'm assuming that's more like the novel, full length, prose. Does your poetry influence that at all?
I don't think so. And
Okay.
I'm kind of surprised by that.
Yeah.
I feel like writing a full-length novel is a very long-term endurance kind of endeavor. It takes people 10 years to write a book or a month. It just there's different speeds and different skill levels that writers have. And for me, I write a little bit slower. And so I really have to think it out. I have to mull over what I'm looking to write and, the scenes and everything. They kind of bake for a while inside my subconscious. But I don't have that luxury when someone asks for a poem. They come up and I can kind of hear that first line and that impression in my head. And then I'm kind of like, okay, shut up, shut up, shut up. I gotta type now. I don't say that, but I can feel that it's coming and I need to get it out.
Yeah, you have to
There's
follow the
no,
intuition. It's the gut
yeah.
response.
And you can't pause. Like you can pause a little bit, but like if you start to edit or try to make it sound cool, you kind of pinch the flow of that muse and that creativity. So it's mu a much different process from doing typewriter poetry to, doing long prose.
How do you feel having, like, when you type out these poems, do you just hand them straight off and it's gone with the wind and you lose that piece of your writing as it joins the world? What's your relationship with that?
So once I type it, I try to take a picture of it. For my records, but also like maybe I'll compile it later. But the physical product is theirs and they get to take it. At first, I would just hand it to them and leave, or I would hand it to them and watch their reaction. And then finally, I was like, I think I want to read it. And I've always kind of felt that like when I tried to sell my book to people and I just felt like I was hitting a wall or I was like facing rejection, it was because they hadn't heard it. And I feel like hearing my book or hearing my writing or my cadence creates a bigger impression of the work. And so I think once I started reading the poetry to people, that's when I started actually seeing people physically react, like where they would, touch their chest or they would look up at the sky or their mouth would open, or they would start to get emotional or teary or cry or gasp. And That's after they've already been really vulnerable, revealing information about themselves. And then all of a sudden I can see, okay, they can feel the reflection of themselves back at them. They can, it's hit an eye and it feels really good.
I do think that there is a certain power in reading, specifically poetry out loud. It just resonates so much deeper when you're able to hear that rhythm, that cadence, that intention. You mentioned earlier that your first publication that you submitted poetry to was the North Coast Squid.
Yes.
Are you from the Astoria, Clatsop County area?
Yeah.
Or, yeah.
Yes. I grew up in Gearheart,
Okay.
and I graduated from high school in Seaside. But
Yay.
eventually, we migrated up to Astoria, and we've been living in Astoria for the past like 15 years.
I love that.
And I feel like I have kind of traveled back and forth between Tillamook County and Clatsop County. And that's really kind of, I'm really inspired by landscape when I'm writing. And so my first book is kind of, set in a fictional town between Clatsop County and Tillamook County. I was like driving back and forth so much for school and work and my stepson that was like these characters in this setting just popped up and wouldn't stop.
So, what is this first book about? Like, tell me a little more about that.
So the first book is Summoning Spruce, and it's about a kind of down on its luck former logging town that's set on the coast, and it was actually inspired by a town further south called Gardner. I don't know if you're familiar with it, but it's in a
No.
basically roughly abandoned logging town near Reedsport, and
Okay.
there's all these like mills and lumber yards that just and buildings that are just sitting empty and desolate, and it was very liminal, like a liminal feeling, and so I started thinking about the connection between Gardner and Astoria and its, troubles, being it's still a logging town, but there was a tough time during the Spotted Owl Wars in the 80s and 90s, and I lived here then, so it did make an impression of it. And so in Spruce, magic is real, but not everyone can access it, and so there's a lot of push and pull and greed regarding it, but then there's also this magical system. It's a very like lyrical, beautiful, but like the main character is quirky and has a caffeine addiction and
Yeah.
which I kind of relate to.
Well, from what you know.
Yeah, right, what you know. And they have found family, and so it's this theme of nature is important. It is precious. It is a source of energy and healing, and people can work together to protect it and also use the resources responsibly. But not everybody wants to do that. So it's a story about balance and
Ooh.
growth.
Yeah. And home in a way, it sounds like.
Yeah. Yes. Finding home, a place
Yeah.
for yourself.
Oh, that's beautiful. I love that it's situated in this fictionalized, like, North Coast region too.
Yeah.
As someone who didn't grow up in Clatsop County, but like I moved there in high school and it just became such a sacred part of my heart. I love hearing stories from folks who have gotten to experience that their whole lives.
Yeah. I mean, I think I heard somewhere that like humans can see so many different shades of green
Yes.
than other mammals, and there's no other place besides here, I feel like, where you can actually experience all these different shades of green.
Every shade of
Yeah,
green.
especially right now.
Yes, it's the be like one of my favorite times of year is late spring, early summer on the coast.
Yes, yes.
Because of that green. I think green is home.
Yeah.
So it sounds like quite a bit of your life is writing and literary based. And do you have any set sort of routine or practice or ritual for that?
I'm really trying to be more analog lately. I mean, obviously, like with the typewriter and stuff, but that's not really why. I feel like if we're not careful, if I'm not careful, I get stuck on my phone. I get stuck in social media. And I don't know why. I don't know why
But
I'm
it's
on the phone.
universal.
Yeah, and if you want to do events or if you want to, get information, oh, it's on Facebook. Oh, it's on this platform.
It's on
And
Instagram. It's
then I'm on there scrolling. And
yes.
so I try to write out everything by hand. I have like a refillable leather journal, and I try to write in there. And then I will dictate it later into my computer, and then I will turn it off. Because I don't want to get distracted. And I have been writing first thing in the morning. I feel like my mind is the freshest then. And then I will go get a coffee at my favorite coffee shops in town. And then I will come back and I will add to it. But if I get, sucked in by that phone or in the, it could get derailed. And then I've started journaling too. And I'm keeping two different journals for two different purposes. I have my daily journal, which is like what's happening in my life, which I think kind of helps get some of that garbage out of my head, that like clutter that will help me be able to write more efficiently. And then I have a phenology journal. I think it's called phenology, where it's a study of the land. So I'm keeping a journal of like the North Coast, my favorite trails and my favorite spots and how they change throughout the seasons. I feel like it helps me kind of stay grounded, but it also helps me kind of observe.
Yeah, be more present in the moment. But also, then you get this really, I don't know if you're the type to hold on to your filled notebooks. I am. And I feel like it forms a chronology of my life.
Absolutely. So there was a woman who lived down in Manzanita. She's since passed away, but her name was Gwendolyn. And she kept a phenology journal. And that's kind of what inspired me because, like, I was like, oh, I wonder what October 15th was like for her in 2018. And you could see it, or that season, oh, was the creek flooded then? Was it not? And it just kind of was intriguing to me. Like, does anybody have a record of life here like that?
So you
Specifically,
get to establish one.
mostly for myself, but also, for the land. Like, it just seems like a really cool process.
Yeah, it's a beautiful practice. I love that. I love being in tune with the self and the earth, and it's such an inspiring area to be able to do that. We had chatted a little bit before hopping on this call about your experience in independent publishing, and I want to explore that with you a little bit. What is that history? What does that mean to you, for community?
Writing is a really, it can be a really lonely and solo endeavor. You're creating a world from your own, mind and subconscious, and you're putting it on the page, you're doing the work. It takes a long time to share those pieces eventually and get feedback. And then if you're going to be traditionally published, that's an even longer, very solitary experience, and it can be discouraging. I mean, there's always the exception to the rule where people, they're get published right away, their debut novel, and they're off, and it's momentum for them. But that doesn't happen for everyone. And for me, I think I finished Summoning Spruce and I queried it, which is the process of trying to get an agent. I think I did it for a year. I think I pitched it to like 35 different agents because I was learning as I went on how to get published. And I heard back from, I think, 18 of them, and they were all really lovely rejections. Like, this is pretty niche. We think it's lovely, but it's not for us, and that's great. But at the same time, I was like, I just need to get this story out into the world and move forward. I don't want to slow my momentum. And so eventually, I think it was like 2 years after I finished it, the first rough draft, is when I was like, I think I'm just going to self-publish. And so when COVID happened, I had all that downtime to be like, okay, now it's time to edit. Now it's time to really just get it ready for publication. And so that's when I self-published and I wanted to have some help with resources. And so I joined the Northwest Independent Writers Association, which is based in the Pacific Northwest. I'm no longer with that organization, just because I had, life changed and stuff, but I was the membership director for 2 years, and it's a really unique and supportive
Group.
organization. Yeah, and it really helps people, learn to sell their items, their books. They kind of go to different events throughout the region, and they have like booths where you can submit your book there, and you can work the booth, and you can meet other writers. And
Wild.
it was a really great community. And I ended up actually going to England with one of the writers I met through that group. I mean, I think writers understand writers.
Yes. I think our brains click a little different and we need
And
that.
I just became really passionate the more I was involved with the group of supporting writers to take that step in self-publishing. Not everybody wants to be traditionally published. Not every book needs to be traditionally published to make an impact. And I wanted to support other writers in that process.
Oh,
So
that's
I
cool.
really enjoyed that time.
Yeah. So more, not even just about self-publishing for you, but also getting others the experience to be able to and getting
Absolutely.
others that. I love that you keep coming back to this, like, yes, writing is solitary because you have to be to get the words on the page, but once it's down, the like respect of making it collaborative, that seems to be a really key part of your practice, and I really admire that.
It is. And when I was, publishing Spruce or summoning Spruce, I tried to make sure that if I didn't have the skill, I outsourced to someone who did. So, like, I had, someone do my cover, and I had someone help me. So I had help along the way, and I wanted to be able to do that for other people too. And
Yeah.
you'd be surprised how many people have a book in them and how many of them are like, I think I want to publish this. How do I do it? And they always kind of whisper it. I'm like, you don't have to whisper.
It's like this forbidden shame almost.
Yeah, I think people are worried that like self-publishing isn't publishing, but right now the publishing world is changing so
Yes.
rapidly. And I'm like, if a corporation will take AI written books, you can publish your
You can
book.
publish your own book that you wrote yourself.
Yeah, you can. I think people are far more talented than they realize. Also, like the size of books is like exponentially longer. I don't know what that is, but I mean, like the classics are usually like 150 to 200 pages. Now, like, oh, well, I have a 1,000-page book for my debut. Like, ugh, you could break
Right?
that up. You could break it
Well,
up and sell
and then we're
it.
talking about like, I don't know, I feel like I see so many conversations about how people, like the country as a whole, is reading less. And I feel like if we weren't being handed 600-page novels, maybe people would feel less intimidated by it.
I started searching the library for like shorter Hugo nominated books for like sci-fi, and that opened up like a whole other avenue of reading, but then also like writing, like, oh, I don't have to write this big long four or five series, four or five series, five, four, so sorry, four or five book series. I can tell a story in a, leaner, trimmer, smaller, shorter format in a good way. And so I started reading them, like, how are they doing this? What kind of format are they using? What kind of pacing and tension are they using? What kind of details are they keeping in those stories? And what are they omitting? Like, there's going to be less world building, obviously. And so it's, I don't feel like as a writer, I always want to be learning. I always want to try to do a new skill and be evolving. And anytime I can learn a new skill, I'm gonna do
I'm
it.
the same way. I think that's the beauty of being a writer is every time you open a book, you get to dissect it. And it is a study project. I can't turn off my writer brain when reading for pleasure because I'm always tearing the book apart to figure out what can I steal? What techniques can I integrate to my work?
I think there's some writers, that they learned how to write by actually like writing out the great novels. I can't remember who it was, but I mean, like, then you learn like the cadence and the you're literally pulling apart and studying how that writer did that thing.
I think I don't remember the name of who you're talking about, but yeah, I believe that there's a handful of people who have either completely retyped their favorite novels or handwritten out their favorite novels. And that's just so much dedication to
It
the craft and to specific writers and to learning to mirror a style. And it's something I really admire, but it's not for me.
I don't think that I could do that. I mean, I salute them in their efforts. But I think the world is like changing also, you know, we're our attention spans are much shorter. And you know, short stories have a place. And I think Ray Bradbury was like, you need to, you know, learn how to write a short story before you can write a novel. You know, once you can, you know, once you can master the short story, then you have the skill to move to a novel. Unfortunately, I started with a novel, and I'm trying to learn how to do short stories now. But honestly, there's no right way to do it. You really need to follow the inspiration. And if you feel like I'm gonna write a book of poetry, or I'm gonna write a journal and never show anybody, or I'm gonna write a novel, like follow your interest and the passion. That's what's gonna pull you through to finish the project.
And discovering that voice, like just pen to paper, get the words on the page. They're not going to be perfect the first round.
And they don't need to be. Bad writing becomes good writing. Like, you have to get through that bad writing to know when it feels right, when it feels good.
I know for myself, writing in poetry brain can take a lot out of me sometimes. How do you find yourself continuing to be able to pull from that to be out in the community?
I think that writing a novel is harder for me than the poetry. And
Really?
I'm not really approaching the typewriter poetry as I'm going out and I'm going to be a poet today. I am going out to be a human today, and I'm going to go connect with other humans. And honestly, when I'm done and I'm getting into the car, I'm so jazzed. Like, I feel, oh, I was a good part of my community today. I helped people feel seen today. And in turn, I felt less lonely today. So I'm not tired when it comes to poetry. But like, if you were to give me something to edit of my own, I'd be like, I don't, please don't make me do this. Which is funny because, you know, I'm running a critique group now. I mean, critique becomes editing. But before you get there, you find other people who are in the same place as you. And you kind of get, I don't know, more confident in your ability to edit your own work through critique.
Okay, well, and do you have any last words that you want to share?
So I am hosting a critique group on the second and fourth Tuesdays of the month at 11 a.m. at the Nettle Grange, which is just a little ways outside of Astoria. It's a beautiful, historic, lovingly restored and maintained Grange. It's open to all genres and all levels. And I know there's so many wonderful, I know that you have a writing group
I
and
do.
Leland has a wonderful writing group. Writing groups are here are amazing. Critique is just a skosh different because this is where you get through the jitters of you of reading your pieces to each other and then you start to cut. Put your voice to the test and just and see what's working and what isn't. And then you're getting with other writers who are at that same level. They're not beginners, they're not super experienced, maybe they are, but they're also in that really vulnerable place of cutting the darlings. And it's a unique experience to be with other writers and share and kind of get excited to hear how people's work is evolving through the weeks.
Well, if anyone's looking for Anne, they can catch her at the Nettle Grange writing group. I believe we put your little poster for it in our newsletter. I'll keep that on there for the next couple months as long as the group is running.
Yes, please.
And thank you for being here with me today.
Thank you for having me. It was so nice talking with you.
You too.
Listening to River Writers. The Writers Guild of Astoria is a 501c3 nonprofit organization promoting the literary arts and serving writers in the Lower Columbia region. You can learn more and become a member by visiting thewritersguild.org. Until next time, keep the words flowing and your pencil sharp. I'm Asher Finch for River Writers.